Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's our first episode of 2025.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. It's basically, you know, it was dry January. We just kind of took it off, but not really. I was out of town.
Yeah.
Finally back.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder if Brad was coming back, but glad you made it back.
Yeah, I didn't give up on Chicago. But here we are drinking non-Chicago beer.
Collab?
But it's not.
Oh.
We have a collaboration called Friendship Bracelet, Taylor Swift inspired, with Forbidden Root and Streetside Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Both Ohio breweries.
That's true, because I guess Streetside is in Cincinnati, according to the can. But you forget that Columbus, Ohio, the state capital, was dangling a bunch of money for businesses to come, and Forbidden Root took them up on the offer, and there's a Forbidden Root Columbus.
Right. This is a 8%. They say West Coast. I say lies.
I tend to disagree. I think it's the Columbus, Ohio version of a West Coast brewery.
Yeah, it's like a... It's not a hazy, juicy IPA. It's just kind of a fruity... I don't want to say fruity IPA. It's just a... It's a IPA. It's I don't.
No, you're right though. It's
East Coast
it's,
IPA.
Yeah, it's more like it's more like a Midwest IPA. It's more it's got more in common with like a Two Hearted than it does like a Stone IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I think the Midwest style is kind of that heavier body, more of those honeyed, candied notes.
Sweeter, yeah.
Sweeter.
No, this isn't dry. This isn't bitter.
West Coast was all about, hey, let's make a bone dry IPA. Let's make it, you know, really thin.
And super bitter.
And as bitter as we can make it. Hop the fuck out of it. Big, fresh hop aromatics, yeah. So it's completely different.
But it's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad, right?
If this was entered into a competition and called West Coast,
they'd lose.
They would have got notes back saying, you know, these are the reasons why it's not.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But I picked this up because I was at Cultivate/Forbidden Root last night.
Right on.
I didn't drink this, but I did have their pale ale that was fantastic, like a common pale or a lonesome common or some companionship pale, something like that. That was great.
Kind of an underrated space, Cultivate. Very nice space. This is the old Band of Bohemia space.
Yeah. It wasn't empty. There was people there. It wasn't super busy. It was a Thursday night. I was expecting it to kind of be dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't dead, but it wasn't enough to keep that space and the lights going.
Mm.
But food wise, kind of just average burgers. Like I feel like all the food at a lot of these breweries is just kind of like the same now.
Yeah. I haven't been there in a while. If I'm going to one Forbidden Root location, I guess it's the one in West, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was saying I was saying to Brad in the pre-show that, can you believe next month they're turning 10 years old, Forbidden Root?
That's ridiculous to me because the brewery's in Ohio.
Yeah.
They have these two spaces. The Band of Bohemia / Cultivate space didn't really work, the Band of Bohemia didn't work.
Right.
So is it working for Cultivate? Are they even making beer there?
Huh.
Are they making beer at Chicago? Probably?
Yeah, right. I think, and you know, they had a, Ravenswood had an open house where they took you to all these breweries, the Marlboro breweries, and they did mention that they're not brewing at all these locations.
Okay.
But I think
I bet they're not brewing a Cultivate. Why bother, right? The Chicago one was probably already like working, so you don't mess with that.
The problem with these though is that they have equipment in all three.
Right.
Like there's these big, really cool oak fooders at the Cultivate one. Mm. So yeah, I wonder like what the overlap is and what the redundancies are there. Or if, you know, do you turn it? Because I don't think, last time I went to Haymarket, I say if there's 20 beers on draft, I would say 15 of them were coming from the Bridgman, Michigan Haymarket.
Okay.
And not a lot coming from
Probably less now, even.
So.
But I'm glad I went to Cultivate. They have a smash burger that's a very good smash burger. It's different than the burger that they used to have or that they still have on Chicago.
Oh, really?
That was more just a regular burger.
Yeah.
And now they've smash burgerified it.
Okay.
And it's good.
A proper smash burger. They're not just saying it's a smash burger.
Right. It has the like charred edges and stuff.
So. We need this, man, because people are out here playing games. You get the smash burger, Goose Island, and they didn't even fucking smash it.
Yeah. Well, they might smash it. There's a difference between, you know, some people have to say the edges have to be charred for a smash burger.
Yeah.
But you could just press a burger. That's technically a smash burger.
Fair. Yeah. I'm expecting like an old school, like Shoops, like region, like, you know, really thin and really make it a point to have those edges, that lacing, because you really got those edges really right. Good. I'm expecting that.
I'm indifferent on like of how I feel about sometimes I like that, sometimes I don't. I just want the meat and the flavor to taste good.
Yeah.
And the bun needs to be good.
Yeah.
But this one's proper by all standards.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, haven't been to Cultivate in a while.
And good beer. I don't think they need two spots, but it's nice that there's a spot there. And
if you're a fan of them, it's not like it's not like Half Acre, for example, where they were relatively close to each other.
Right.
Like one's like in Westtown, which is almost it's not too far from at downtown Chicago, and the other one's on like pretty far on the
west
side.
Or north side. Yeah. So yeah, it's nice that they're far enough apart that. They're not getting the same customers.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what I was. Yeah.
The only other spot I went to right before the first of the year was I think I went on my birthday, Suncatcher.
Okay.
Speaking of Half Acre.
Oh yeah, Cast Some Sun, the sister project. I think that's how they described it.
I went in. I want to say with low expectations.
Yeah.
I expected like a small place, just kind of like a tap room, just kind of like, hey, we're, I don't know, corner bar-y kind of feeling.
Right.
This place is like, oh yeah, Half Acre has money, and they made it real nice.
It's a super cute location. Shares a space. It shares a space with that Chrissy Weber farm.
Right next door, they have a patio area, but then the Suncatcher patio is huge.
Yeah,
it's giant.
That's gonna be a really fun place to hang out, weather permitting.
Yeah,
it's just gonna be 50 this weekend.
Okay, but that was over there, and the last time I was there, I don't know, it was a long time ago. There's just so many more like condo buildings, like it's way more built up, and I think with stuff they're doing over at like United Center and things like that, that just is gonna help that be a better place. I was kind of poo-pooing it when we first talked about it, but
is this I think Chicago's a weird town where, you know, there's so many neighborhoods. I don't know if that's still West Town.
I think it's Ukrainian Village.
Ukraine, you think that's UK? Okay.
Because you're close to the actual park there.
You might, that's what I was like, is this Humboldt Park? Is this Garfield Park? Because if you're at Goose Island, which is around the corner, the Barrel Warehouse is around the corner from Suncatcher.
Okay.
You could walk to it.
That's
East Garfield Park.
East Garfield Park.
So, but I don't know where.
But I think
this might wherever.
Nothing on the other side of Lake is going to be Garfield Park, because Garfield Park would be like your cutoff line, right?
Maybe.
So that.
And this runs on a slant. So this is for locals listening. This is like basically Grand and Kedzie.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's still Ukrainian Village / West Town.
It's one. It might be one or two. I don't know. That's what I was asking. I don't know.
Great spot. Good beer.
Yeah. I think the brewmaster at Half Acre is also the brewmaster here. And I think they're just...
Matt.
They're playing no games. They're just got a handful of old world pub beers.
Yeah.
I think I had a brown ale when I was there.
Okay.
Yeah. You had a pale.
And then maybe a brown or an English bitter, maybe.
They just have a very simple, clean, good concept.
Yeah, no logos on the glasses, though.
No. Yeah, just on the coasters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the place is tiny. It's almost like a... like somewhere a hobbit would live. It's like not very big. Did you feel like it was big?
I feel it was big because it has the bar, which is a good size, and some seating.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the room where you walk through to go to the bathrooms and stuff, and there's lots of seatings and table there.
Okay.
I don't know. It felt like coffee shop big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like not tiny, but like a good size. Like not restaurant, but coffee shop.
Right, so above tiny, not quite restaurant.
Yeah, maybe like a little, maybe around the size of like Hot Butcher. Maybe a little bigger than that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good for them, man. I root for them. I think they were saying that they didn't really have permits or they couldn't build directly all week like they wanted. They had to like pick their spots.
Okay.
And they kind of did a lot of work themselves. And, you know, I think it's Half Acre's longest tenured employee,
Raj,
and who is neighbors or lives in the same neighborhood with Half Acre's head brewer, and then they decided, hey man, there's this building, and these folks are gonna let us lease it. I think this could be our dream project right around the corner from where we actually live.
I didn't see the brewery. Is it behind the bar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't go in or anything, but when you walk in, you can get a glance of.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to check it out when it's warm weather.
I'd like to see it at full tilt because they got the little magic door that leads to the Mexican restaurant next door.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So they're kind of encouraging people to support that business.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Okay.
Yeah. And then...
it was dark when I was there.
And they got, I would say, the outside space, it's not double the inside space.
But it's big.
It's almost double.
Like, was there bocce courts? Like, or... shuffleboard?
You mean
at Suncatcher? I felt like there was some sort of court there for like games or something. Mm. I don't know. It was dark. It was a blur. I don't know.
Yeah, they did say that all these locations were all one at one. At one point, this was a one-stop shop. So like, I think if I remember correctly, you pull up. It was a full-service car space. You pull up into a gas station. And then I think there was a mechanic shop, and then there was
a car wash,
and the Mexican joint was a place where you would like get repairs done. It was like this full service. All those properties were all one, and it was all for like this car business.
Interesting.
Roger was saying that.
That's cool.
I was like, man, it's fun knowing this useless information about what this place used to be.
I was just kind of like, after going. And kind of like poo-pooing the spot and being like, this seems dumb.
Yeah.
Who's in this neighborhood? It's like, oh, this is way more built up. I can see it's useful. It's out of the way for anyone to really go to because we went to like a couple Logan spots before that, like Best Intentions.
Yeah.
And then you go, it's like, oh, that's kind of far.
From
like the Logan, Avondale spots.
Yeah, because you're basically going from Fullerton down to like, like you said, like Lake almost.
Right.
So that's not closed. It's in line with the other stuff that's over there. There's just like kind of
Midwest Coast.
Yeah. And then there's some low-key bars over there, like the Beatles over there.
Right.
You know, is there some just nondescript, easygoing, you know, $3 beer bars in that area?
Yeah.
So this is like very non-pretentious kind of, hey, we just give me a shot in a beer kind of step spots. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on over there. So, yeah, good for them.
How about you? What have you been up to the last month that I've been, drinking 3-2 beer in Utah?
Man, not a whole lot, man. But I was saying, I think I'm going to go out to beautiful Naperville, Illinois.
Okay.
And probably for the first and last time this year.
To Naperville in general?
Yeah.
Even Salomon?
Because I'm more of a still life guy than I am. You know what I mean? Like, I'm more of an Armitage guy. But I think I am going to go out there and check out Blind Corner Brewing.
Okay.
Which is the latest project from Eric Hobbs. And they're being hosted at Go Brewing, which shares a parking lot with the original Salomon out of Naperville.
Okay.
So I'm going to go out there tomorrow.
So.
At fucking noon.
This is a new brewery, but it's doesn't have a space. It's a new brewing project. And I don't know how I would describe that, right?
Yeah, they are, what do you call it? They're a resident brewer at Go, essentially.
Okay.
They don't have their own space. So Eric,
but they are alcoholic?
But they are a real alcoholic brewery that is brewing at Go Brewing. You bring this up because Go Brewing is a non-alcoholic brewery.
Okay.
So this could be confusing for folks who go to Go because it's a non-alcoholic brewery.
Right, because you're like, if you're an alcoholic, you're going there. Probably still not good. You're at like a brewery, but you're getting non-alcoholic beer. And then you may...
But you, like, need the, but you need a companionship. You need the camaraderie.
And right? You may be tempted to just assume everything there is non-alcoholic. I don't know what else... Maybe Go has always had.
And we speak to this as people who have never been admittedly alcoholics.
Right.
Right. Like,
sure.
So yeah, we don't know. We don't know how it affects people who are like straight up have issues with fucking alcohol.
I probably would just avoid it, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go.
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
I wouldn't go to Go.
Don't go. That's what you do. You don't go. So, you know,
if I was pregnant, maybe
if you were knocked up and you wanted to just be at a brewery,
it was like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Twins.
That was one with him and Danny DeVito.
I might be at Go all the time.
I might watch that tonight. You know, shout out to this guy, his name's Hip Hops on IG. Okay. And he's got a pod where he interviews a bunch of local people. He interviewed Hobbs. You know, Hobbs, we know Hobbs from, he was at Goose.
Yeah.
The original Black Friday, he was at Goose with Corridor.
They started Penrose.
Yeah, him and Tom Corridor left and started Penrose.
Then they had some sort of falling out.
Some sort of disagreement. He leaves to go partner at Solomoth.
Yeah.
Which is across the street from Go Brewery.
And now he's leaving to start his own project in a time where breweries are closing.
And not only that, the brewer who made the beers at Hidden Hands 1 at FOBAB is coming with him to
Whoa. So there has to be
is coming with him Blind Corner.
Some conflict at Solomoth that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This I'm he very
stole this I'm very, guy.
You know, poached is some people would call it, you know. I'm curious to know about this. But this falls in line with what happened at Moore Brewing when Phase 3 opened. Phase 3 Brewing left Moore, the head brewer, the taproom manager, and the lady who did all their designs. They all left and went and started Phase 3. So, you know, there's a precedent for this kind of stuff, you know.
But they had a space.
Oh, but yeah, they went to Lake Zurich. But at the time, they didn't. Because remember, they all left and went to Lake Zurich Brewing. And then after a year, they made Lake Zurich Brewing an offer they couldn't refuse. Lake Zurich goes out of business, and then Phase 3 took over. But in the beginning... It's the exact same thing. They just went and started brewing somewhere.
Maybe they take over Go. And Go, because you were saying in the pre-show, Go is selling a lot of beer, and they're not even brewing it all there.
Yeah, it sounds like, and there's a website for it. There is a collab contract brewery with Noon Whistle. It's a collab between Go Brewing and Noon Whistle, and it's somewhere in Illinois. The deets are kind of sketchy, but there's a website. And it sounds like it's a contract brewery, and most of a Go's capacity is going to be there because Go has eyes on, like, a nationwide footprint.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see Go being like, non-alcoholic taproom does not work. In my opinion, it doesn't work. I've never been.
Yeah.
So have someone else come over, take over the space.
Yeah.
Which was, that was a Two Fool Cider space.
Exactly.
Come over, take over that space, which would be hilarious. The Hidden Hands brewer. Across the street from Solomon/Hidden Hands.
Yeah, in this episode, because see, I was on the Malting Hour once. It was this guy was one of the hosts of the Malting Hour, but now he does his own show.
Oh, yeah.
So in this interview that we're talking to Hobbs, he talks about how, you know, like you said, they had a falling out of Penrose, difference of opinion. I think Hidden Hands was like Eric Haas' baby, and he wanted to expand that more, but the guys at Solomoth were like, well, that's not the direction we want to go. So he said, hey, I'm at this Blind Corner. I don't know what to do. I had all my chips placed on. Yeah, this is what I wanted to do. And now I don't know what to do. I'm standing here all alone and no one wants to go with me.
Yeah.
So why don't I just go do my own thing?
Right. Like, I don't know. Remember all the reasons for the falling out. We've heard this. But like you said, he wanted to like expand this. Tom Corder didn't. Yeah. He wanted to focus more on the like the wild ales and stuff. And now... Those fucking seltzers are basically paying the bills at Penrose.
Yeah.
Like, to not I don't know, to maybe not follow Hobbs at that time, and then to come full circle and you're not even selling beer now, and you like wanted to basically focus on the craft.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I don't know. It's all changing landscape, so.
Yeah, it's true. It's like you got to put your chips somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's not just a one-man band. It's like a group decision. And a lot of times a group just doesn't agree on what songs they should play.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he's like, hey, I see this as something I don't want to do, so I'm going to leave.
So it's Hidden Hands and he's a new brewer then, right?
That's what it sounds like. I don't know if this guy was a head brewer. He might have been like the, whatever you call a creative brewer. You know, like, you know.
Okay.
Like, he was on the brewing team.
Okay.
You know. One other note from this podcast, like, Go Brewing had 7 guest beers on draft.
Oh, they did.
One of them was Solomon, one was Hidden Hands. But now all those guest drafts are going to be just all blind corner. So, yeah. So I'm excited. I want to know more about, you know, the Penrose era. And then I want to go try the beers.
Going to drink Go, too, while you're there?
I mean, I've been to Go, and I was telling you, I don't know why I was there, but I was there the weekend they opened. Maybe because I like going to places when they open.
Yeah.
And it was cool, but I'm not really, I think if I'm drinking non-alcoholic beer, it's going to be the Guinness one or this Corona one that I had at Chris Jacobson's place.
It was Corona?
They taste the Guinness one and the Corona one, and people say Heineken's the same way. I haven't had that one. But the Guinness one and the Corona one, they taste just like Guinness and Corona. And this is my problem with these beers.
I don't.
Have you had these?
No, I'm like, I don't mind Corona in like the setting, but I don't want to sit down and be like, all right, it's, 3 o'clock or at lunch and be like, you know what? I want a taste of Corona, but not have a Corona because it doesn't taste good. It makes you, Corona has more of a vibe feel, right?
Time and place.
Like, I want to put the lime in. I want to feel like I'm, like, hanging out for good times.
Yes.
And to drink something that tastes like it, and you're like, I'm sitting at my desk.
I don't have any limes, or no salt, and I'm having a Corona with no booze in it.
Right. So you're drinking shitty water.
Right. So my point, what I'm telling you
but
is,
you'd rather have that.
It tastes just as shitty as the original Corona. And I'm just explaining. It is.
Impressive? They were able
to. I'm impressed. I'm impressed that this sucks just like Corona sucks. Good job by you. You know, you did a good job here.
Makes you wonder: is there actually alcohol in Corona?
Maybe like 4%. You know.
Have they just been making shitty water the whole time and being like, man, we'll just say there's booze in it, put a lime in it. You don't know.
I was always a fan of the Coronitas. The little cute ones. We've had them before. Yeah. You know, you can turn them into salt and pepper shakers. But then they don't get warm. It's only like 6 ounces.
Right. That's like Little Buddies.
Yeah, basically the precursor to Little Buddy. Yeah. So yeah, as breweries close, breweries are opening. And this Eric Hobbs guy sounds like a wild ride. I think that was one of our last interviews was Hobbs at the 10th anniversary of Solomon.
Right. And it was like...
Hobbs and John Barley.
And Hobbs was... A lot of his effort was focused on City Water at the time.
Yeah.
Which, is City Water still around?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't see it or hear about it mentioned very often anymore.
Yeah.
I think those vodka, like, self sodas kind of ate that market of, I don't even, was it seltzer?
Yeah, it was seltzer.
I think that market is gone.
I think so, too. And I think cider is suffering a similar fate. Side note, I was listening to something about Angry Orchard.
Yeah.
And the Sam Adams Collective. I think it's Sam Adams, Dogfish, Angry Orchard, and they make seltzer, too.
Okay.
Oh, anyway, 90% of everything they sell is either Angry Orchard or Twisted Tea. 90% of what San Adams and Dogfish is selling is either Angry Orchard or Twisted Tea. That number floored me. I think this was like CNBC. This was like some YouTube shit.
That's crazy.
I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's an indication of how heavy those things are, you know?
I did see the stat that Sam Adams, out of all the macro breweries, donates the most to the Republican Party. Huh. So...
They won't be running out of cans anytime soon.
No, they're good. No. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm gonna go to that, and then the 11th annual Cider Summit is coming up.
Okay,
that's on the February 8th, I believe. So I'm gonna go to that. So this is the 11th annual Cider Summit, 125 ciders. Yeah, and it's a benefit
at Navy Pier.
Yeah, it's a benefit for women employed, which is a 50-year-old Chicago-based advocacy organization that pursues the equity of women in the workplace. And okay. They're doing a Spanish pour competition again. And, yeah, so I'll be going to that. I think a lot of people, well, Cider Summit is usually the end cap to Cider Week, which includes Cider Con, like a full-blown conference on cider. But it's every other year. So I think when I went last year, you know, the Cider Con didn't exist.
Okay.
So it was actually pretty subdued. It was very low key. Didn't feel like a lot of people there. So maybe that changes because this year I think the conference is happening.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it really the only time
You drink cider?
It's the only time I drink cider and the only time I go to Navy Pier. So they do a good job with placement. This is a party in early mid February.
Yeah.
Like, and there ain't really nothing going on.
Right.
Here.
I think Brewpub Shootout is this weekend or that weekend.
That's right. Yeah, Brewpub Shootout is coming up.
So, like, we're kind of, I don't want to say kicking off the season. It's kind of like they're dabbling in the February is kind of these, like, pre-St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, then from then on, you're, like, party go.
All bets are off. Yeah, there's something cool every weekend. And you are right. Brewpub Shootout is,
Might be this weekend. Maybe January.
The 26th annual Brewpub Shootout. Jesus Christ.
26 years. Which I feel like I heard, was it you or us talking about it, mixed reviews last time. Like the food was real bad.
Really?
And they didn't get enough of it and there was lines for it. I feel like maybe I saw that or heard that.
You know, I don't think I've ever been to it. This is Chicago Beer Society.
Yeah, I've been once. When it was at the place across from where FOBEB was, the Bridgeport Arts Center, like it was over there in a Bridgeport art gallery thing.
Yeah, you're right. Brewpub Shootout is this weekend.
Oh, so the second. First.
Yeah, the first.
So tomorrow. Which?
At Half Acre from 1 to 5.
At Half Acre?
Yeah.
Oh, then this is tiny now. Like they have.
Unless they do it in the warehouse.
Right, but.
Oh, but it's like a brew pub. It's
not that big.
Warehouse? I mean, the brewery?
At the warehouse?
Half Acre.
It's not that big. It's big, but not like. It's been bigger. I feel like it's a smaller.
We're talking about Half Acre, right?
Yeah.
Half Acre's pretty big.
Yeah.
The restaurant part is not that big.
Right, but that back is like.
It's pretty big.
Where we went to
the big
Christmas
north.
Jamboree.
Yeah, the Christmas Jamboree. The big north. Come on.
It's like a decent size, but it's not that big.
Brad, it's big as fuck back there, bro.
Really?
Come on, it's huge.
It's a good size. Come on.
Okay.
It's bigger than like back in the day when like Night of the Living Ales was at Goose Wrigley.
Yeah.
That was like packed.
Yeah, that was a big space and you couldn't really move. I think that was like the height of Night of the Living Ales. Well,
you just stand around and people would fart and you'd try to get a pour of something.
Did you go to, you went to the, I never made it to the one at
Bottom Lounge?
Yeah. Bottom Lounge. Was it just as big? But just as packed.
At that point, no one gave a shit. Oh, I went the weekend before, like, COVID lockdown. So there was kind of a little uneasiness, mm-hmm. but not a lot of people there, and no one gives a shit about Firkins.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah. Man, that's too bad. Yeah.
Which I think brings us to some of these rumors and openings and closings about giving a shit.
Yeah.
There's a rumor Pipeworks is in trouble.
If you can see Brad's face, he gets excited about this kind of stuff.
I'm excited about things opening and things closing. Because okay. I like the...
I know.
The change. I like the change.
Fair.
Forbidden Root, fucking 10 years old, and you're still doing Smoochie Boochies, and you're rosé, 10% rosé.
If I go to the one in West Town, it's across from my boot shop. I'm getting the rosé thing. That's the only thing I want to drink.
But you're 10 years and you have done nothing different. You are the same brewery and somehow you're still functioning? Bullshit.
in the beginning, it was all root beers and, you know, botanicals and shit. Then they pivoted to the smoochy shit.
Yeah.
And then, so a small pivot.
Small pivot small during pivot. The hazy height.
Yeah.
But it's the
after,
same.
But yeah, after that, no, it's been the same.
It's boring. Yeah. They're boring.
They said their top-selling beer is a strawberry basil Hef.
Right. And that they've had from day one. That's been a day one beer.
Yeah.
So. Why does this exist?
What the fuck?
Anyway. I like the, you know, I'm talking about like Half Acre getting rid of beers, like getting rid of Fader, getting rid of Tome.
Yeah.
Green Torch comes in, like the evolving palette, like Sketchbook does this a lot. Like they have a lot of different beers.
Yeah.
Somehow Forbidden Root gets away with just being like a Goose Island and being like, we got Honkers, you should come in.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Strawberry Basil, you should come in. Yeah. Really? Why?
What about these? What about this popcorn though? What about these nuts?
But anyway, there's a rumor Pipeworks could be in trouble because they shut down for the winter, right?
The dojo.
Which no one went to besides Nick.
Well, because there's no fucking tap room. If you drink something, it's got to be in a thimble. They don't have a what they call an amusement license.
It's like you can buy shit there and drink it. To go.
Yes.
So there's no reason to go there because the prices are the exact same as the store.
And then what do they have there that you can't just go to Benny's and get?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
And this this is a space in Hermosa.
Yes.
Next to Off Color. Is Off Color still there in that space?
Right. Maybe.
Maybe.
What are they doing there?
I don't know.
I think they do the clean bears there.
Oh, okay.
Right, because they go nuts with the wild...
At the mousetrap.
With the wild yeast at the mousetrap.
But the rumor is, like, Pipeworks just is, I guess, non-existent and having financial troubles, which we've kind of talked about over the last couple of years of, like, Pipeworks came about this time where the bomber craze, like, they would have a new bomber basically every week.
Yeah.
And everyone would be picking up these bombers, and they were the cool kid beers, right?
I thought Ninja versus Unicorn, when considering all things considered, their first beer was Ninja versus Unicorn. It was a 500-foot home run. Yeah. It was just so much excitement around Pipeworks. And then the bomber format, like you said, everything was new. All the artwork was new. All the flavors were new. And they ushered in that era of, we don't need a flagship necessarily. We're just going to hit you with
new stuff all the time.
Yeah, one-off new cool stuff
all the time. And be excited for us. Sometimes you might hit a loser, but don't worry. There's another one next week, and you're coming back for the new.
Yeah.
We're the new.
You trust us with your palate.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when they went to cans, they had like...
They settled down.
They settled down. They kind of stuck with those.
Blood of the Unicorn, Ninja versus Unicorn.
Guppy?
The Guppy series and the barrel-aged stuff. The dark stuff. Abduction. The stouts.
But then at some point, maybe it was COVID, maybe like right before that, no one knows Pipeworks exists anymore, right? They don't have a tap room you can go to. They are beers on the shelf. Where are they being brewed?
You know, whether it's Spiteful or 18th Street, which are those kind of crews that kind of came up under the tutelage of Pipeworks.
Yeah.
For some reason, or even the crews that just focus on hazy stuff, like, you know, your Saint Laurent's and your Hot Butchers, I think over time, a lot of that stuff kind of overshadowed how cool Pipeworks was, because they were doing Pipeworks stuff. They were doing Pipeworks better than Pipeworks, you know?
Right, because also Pipeworks, some of the beers were great, like you said, Ninja vs. Junior. Some were bad. Like, maybe they weren't good at what they were doing, but you were like, "Oh, I'll try the different one next week." So consistency is important in the brewing process. Like,
yeah.
You can make Corona non-alcoholic taste like Corona. That's really good.
Yeah.
But Pipeworks couldn't make the same beer over and over again.
Some brewers would tell you that's an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was a problem, but then I just think no one knows Pipeworks exists.
It's hard
to talk to a 25-year-old beer drinker. They don't know who Pipeworks is.
Yeah.
They can't go to Pipeworks. They can't go to they're not going to a bar that has Pipeworks on, because they're not going to a bar. They're buying beer to drink at home because it's more affordable. Yeah. And why would you buy Pipeworks? You're going to buy these breweries that you know exist and people talk about. Yeah. So I think, I don't know where Pipeworks stands, but there's just a rumor that they are in trouble.
I think the best thing that Off Color did was have the mousetrap, mm-hmm. right? It's in a section of town, you know, by a Whole Foods and a strip club that otherwise people wouldn't really have gone to.
Right.
So in some ways, it's a destination.
And we talked about, we were excited that Bishi was a Pipeworks brew pub.
Yeah.
But they're not, they're doing a poor job telling you Pipeworks. They're just trying to say it's Bishi. Bishi's not a brewery. It's Pipeworks brewing this beer. And they're brewing subpar beer.
The storytelling isn't enough to get people excited that it could just be Pipeworks Satellite Taproom.
Right.
Even though there's a Pipeworks brewer there that I think he brews there a few times a week and brews at Pipeworks the rest of the week. Yeah, and they don't, they don't advertise that. Like Gabe from Half Acre came out and said, yo, this is our sister brewery, Suncatcher. You need to go check them out. And this is their story they're telling.
Yeah.
Even a little cosign like that would have been helpful.
And we have another story we're going to talk about, like Middlebrow here in Beer Temple. I think you got to, like, the collab, like, we're drinking a collaboration beer. You have to collaborate, like, Bishi, you can't bring people in for the food and beer. You can bring people in for the food. Pipeworks can bring people in for the beer. Advertise the Pipeworks beer. Get people to come here. It's a Pipeworks tap room, but the place is called Bishi Beer. And Pipeworks is the brewer. Like,
their affiliation's getting lost in the project.
Yeah. Stop calling it Bishi Beer. Just call it Bishi, and these are Pipeworks beers.
Yeah, because at one point they were going to have Bishi actually mean. I think Bishi's like a dragon of some sort.
Yeah.
And it was good to kick off the project. There was going to be, because if you go to the bar, Bishi's got two bars. The bar downstairs is never open, but they got this huge chalkboard and they drew this big Godzilla looking dragon on there. And the original beer to kick off the announcement was going to be like Bishi versus Unicorn.
Okay.
You know, and it was going to be.
I never saw that or heard that.
No. So it's getting lost. Everything that Pipeworks is contributing over to Bishi is kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't. That's probably Bishi's fault. Because Bishi's like, it's a restaurant in Logan Square. It's going to do fine this point.
I actually like their food. Their food's good.
I find that Ninja Burger sucks now.
But, that's too bad.
And then, so who knows what happens with Pipeworks? It's kind of like up in the air if the dojo reopens or there's going to be a packaged brewery that just, you know, exists.
Yeah. Or maybe Blind Corner
takes over
and starts doing parties there.
But then the collaboration thing, you were telling me that Middlebrow is now doing pizza at Beer Temple.
Yeah, Beer Temple's food program is less than a year old. Right. And, you know, they were doing some, you know, they were doing some stuff, but I don't know if it really caught on. So they announced that they're going to collab with Middlebrow, and now they're just going to be a beer and pizza-focused location.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but when you see some of the preview stuff coming out, like Middlebrow isn't necessarily known for pizza, but they're known for bread. You know, fermentation, their fermentation obsession has gone from beer to now wine and bread is the focus.
Okay.
So they have a pizza. It's once a week. You can go there.
Their beer was never great.
Yeah, their beer's fine. I think they brew their beer now at
Great Central?
No, it's out in it's out west. Miskatonic.
Oh.
They're, a lot of their beer is brewed out of Miskatonic now. So their tanks are all dedicated to wine.
Fine.
Oh, but the pizza that they make is a super thin crust pizza once a week at Middlebrow. But this is going to be different. This is going to be a pizza just for the folks at Beer Temple. And it's not the exact same pizza. It's a different pizza. It's more like a grandma style or a cafeteria, high school cafeteria style pizza.
This is fun. Does that make me want to go to Beer Temple?
What if it's good?
It's good.
What if the pizza's good?
I think that was maybe some of my problem with Beer Temple is I'm just going there to drink. You're just a bar. So now that you have food, it's a little more interesting.
Yeah, it's a slashy, and there's you could used to be able to bring your own food, but then they start making their own food. But then their food was kind of like, you know, I'm not in the mood for the food that you guys are selling.
Yeah, and this is what Half Acre was supposed to do. Big Star was going to do the food at Half Acre.
I'm convinced we don't deserve good brew pubs in this town. Because every time we come up with a list, we came up with a list of best brew pubs to go to, and Guinness made the top five. And that's not a knock against Guinness, but it's for some reason in Chicago proper, it's very difficult to have a place that is killing it with food and beer.
I think the...
A brewery that's right, killing it with food
I think
and beer.
The margins are just too thin at this point that you need to pick your focus. Are you a brewery or are you a restaurant? And the Beer Temple, we're a bar. Yeah. We can't do food. Why would we try? Bring someone else in here.
Right.
Like when Metropolitan exists, they had the barbecue place right outside.
Yeah, it's all in smoke.
You could order food. Like, we can't do food. Bring your food in here. We're not going to try to do food. Yeah, maybe that backfired for them. But
So we'll see. We'll see what's going on with them. I don't know when that happens, but it's coming soon. There's a Beer Temple's IG is all about their new pizza ovens. So
on the pizza front, there's a new
pizza
spot opening up in Irving Park, Old Irving here.
Yeah, Old Irving, right off like fucking like California and Irving.
Right. Sacramento. Right,
Sacramento and Irving. So what is that? Right by
this
the
this was an old Leader Bar.
Yes.
Apparently closed down. It was like a sports bar,
right?
Which, according to Ravinia, is all the rage with sports bar. And there's that Twin Peaks, I don't know, sports bar.
Twin Peaks, wow.
It's like a sports bar.
I mean, like in the burbs?
Yeah, they're called like Twins. Yeah, the Twin Peaks is a sports bar. And it's just like...
I'm aware of them. I've never been in one.
They just like, I don't know, IPO'd on the stock market.
There's one in Northbrook.
So it's like a big chain. Stupidest fucking shit ever.
Okay.
But Leader Bar, closed. Yes. Sports Bar, didn't work. Crust Brewing is Rosemont. Taking over the spot.
Yes.
Never been to Crust.
It's in Rosemont, you know, right next to Short Fuse / Zombie Metropolitan.
Right. If I go to Rosemont, I'm going to Chicago Dogs. I'm going to the sports card convention that's often in the convention center.
Okay.
And then maybe Short Fuse. Crust has never crossed my mind. The outlet mall comes before Crust Rosemont.
There's like a pretty cool cologne outlet mall in there. No. All right, so I work in the North Burbs, and I take 294 back to the city. And if microphone's closed, the first stop is microphone. You go to microphone. If microphone's closed, now it's like, all right, do I go to Zombie Metropolitan or do I go to Crust? So I've been to Crust. This is the old Hofbrau House in downtown Rosemont.
Okay.
I don't understand why Crust is open in another location. I don't understand this.
I don't understand this either. I'm excited. It is now the closest brewery tap room to my house.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I want to go too.
I don't. When we talk about like, oh, Pipeworks is in trouble. Crust is opening a second spot? Pipeworks, literally, what the fuck are you doing? Like, who's ever in charge of Pipeworks, you all have fucked up.
Side note, you talk about the early days of craft, whether it's Goose Island. Goose Island was making beer for Trader Joe's at one point because they couldn't fill the tanks at Fulton. Half Acre, their beer was getting contracted up in Wisconsin. A lot of people, this was before me, a lot of people say it sucks. So if you come out the gate the way Pipeworks did with these huge fucking start and kind of fizzle off, it kind of sucks that this is where we're discussing Pipeworks at. Yeah.
Right. A place like Crust is coming in with a second spot. It maybe feels a little like what was the Evanston place with the purple line beer?
Oh, Smiley Brothers.
It feels maybe Smiley Brothers that I don't think this Crust spot lasts, but...
I like going to places when they first open. So I went to Crust when it first opened. So maybe it's different now, you know? Maybe they dialed in, you know, Open Outcry had to find their way, you know?
But now they're like been sold multiple times.
They had a point. My point is it peaked. It was way better a year or two after it opened than it was on day one.
Right.
So maybe Crust is entering that phase of the project where, hey, we got some shit we figured out.
What kind of pizza did Crust have?
It was basically Peace Brewery Ajace. It was all thin crust.
Just thin round thin crust.
Round thin crust.
Tavern style.
No. Like, but it was like the slices.
Oh, like New York-y slices.
Yeah, or New Haven apparently. It could be New Haven. It was thin crust.
Floppy slice.
Thin crust, floppy slices.
Okay.
Yes, and beer. And I'm just like.
Okay, because Easy Street, for anyone who knows Chicago or Irving Park, Easy Street is right down the street from where this crust place. They have like a pan pizza.
Yeah, Easy Street is a solid option.
Right, kind of sweet sauce.
Yeah, they got a patio. Yeah, get you some popcorn chicken, get you a good jug of wine. And you can get some pizza if you want.
So another, what else?
I guess they're looking at it like, yo, their pizza ain't. You're not over here killing it, Easy Street. You're not. You don't have it on lock. You're not Pizza Amici.
I never been to Leader Bar, but it was kind of big. It had like two sides.
I thought once about going to see Cub Sox at Leader Bar, and then I just didn't go.
Okay.
So I mean, this is better than that because it's a brewery. So already, it's better.
I don't know if it's a brewery. It's a.
Satellite tap room. Yeah. We have to assume that the beer's coming from Rosemont and they're going to be slinging pies at this joint.
I kind of think they'll have other beers too.
You think so?
I think this will be like a Jimmy's. Have you been to Jimmy's?
Jimmy's Cafe?
Jimmy's Pizza Place.
Oh, yeah.
Across from Aldi.
Yeah, right off Western.
They have a great beer selection, amazing pizza.
Jimmy's is cool.
If this new crust satellite tap room could do that, have their beers. A few others, maybe a Pipeworks beer.
You ask 10 people what their favorite pizzas are, you're going to get all different answers. So
right.
There is no such thing as the right answer for pizza. So they're like, well, listen, we think our pizza's good, and this place was open. It's in a populated section. Fuck it, let's give it a spin. See what we can do.
What are your top two if you just had to order pizza and had any Chicago, it could just be delivered to your house, like not in radius. What are you going with?
That's tough.
My two favorite, I'll go first, wait, think about this, are Mai Pai.
Okay.
I love Mai Pai, and it's in, right over there by Map Room.
Yeah.
Outside of the zone here, over here. So Map Room's great. It's more of a pie. It's like...
Oh, yeah. I can picture it.
Yeah, it's not deep dish.
It's like Damon. It's
pan pizza, like a little thicker.
Yeah.
And then D'Agostino's.
D'Agostino's.
Those are my... If I could pick, those are my two. Jimmy's is probably like right on the cusp.
Jimmy's is cool. I'm just going off the most recent experiences. I really like Michael's. It's way over east.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, like Sheridan and like Montrose-ish, that city proper. I had a good time at Kim's Uncle out in, but it's in Westmont though. I don't know, man. I like the, all pizzas don't travel well.
Right.
That's why I like, when I'm at Pizza Mata, I sit in the only seat they have. I go to the...
Yeah, that's not good delivery.
See, because it doesn't deliver. But I have it there. I get the Jardiniere on the side. I get the Still Life Solemn Oath. I get a 4-pack there. I drink it right there. Those been my two favorite experiences lately. Michael's on the far north side and Pizza Mata.
Okay.
But yeah, it's tricky because... Pizza Mata, it sounds like it don't deliver, and I've never had it delivered. But I like it. On site, I like it. On site, I think it's good.
Tough sub.
See, different with different answers, even just us. So if we ask 10 people, they'll all say this.
Do you want Detroit? Do you want pan? Do you want deep dish? Do you want thin crust? Do you want tavern? Do you want cracker? Do you want
New York? Up in Rogers Park, there's a place called Nueva León. And that's probably, we call it Old Faithful. Because it's like, all right, we don't know what we're going to eat, but we know if we order that, it's going to be good every single time it comes.
Or something like Jets is a solid option for like a...
That's a Detroit style pizza.
But it's like it almost fits in that like Domino's Pizza
But then
Hot,
that's a chain,
Caesars kind of realm. It's like, that's a solid option for like quick pizza.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're off beer.
Yeah.
Crust, excited for that. Anything else? Opening, closing, rumors? Has Haymarket closed yet?
Haymarket, as far as I know, is still open. Afterthought out in the burbs closed. Their last day was December 29th. That was one of those spots where it's like they made pretty good beers, but their focus was being like a Belgian cafe. Right. So you go there and you can, it's basically Hop Leaf.
I did see a post where the people are like, I think there's going to be a lot of quiet closings in 2025 where they just, I'd be like, tomorrow's our last day.
Yeah.
Not like a big, like a pipe works, you know, shutting down, or like something like a big fanfare, like thanks for the support after 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just be like, yeah, this is our last weekend. Thanks.
Yeah. Speaking of things that close, we were talking about, I was hanging out with a hardcore craft beer, Chris Jacobson, and he threw a party at, I didn't know it was 8 years long. It was Dark Side. And it was just similar to Cider Summit. It picked a spot in between January and February that, you know, nothing else was going on really right before the Super Bowl. And it was like, you know, a dark beer festival at an arcade in the middle of winter, right? So I go to his place just to hang out. He's like, yeah, this is my annual video game thing. But this is the precursor to Dark Side. This is the reason why I wanted to do Dark Side. Because, you know, I got all these fucking, I don't know, for some reason I got 20 TVs and like 20 systems.
But no more Dark Side.
No more Dark Side. So Dark Side's over, but I'm like, you should bring that back. And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about that.
I think you could bring it back in all dark beers, like dark lagers, like Czech lagers.
Dark lagers would be a new wrinkle. Because back then.
Don't do the, it doesn't have to all be big stouts.
Could be black barley wines, stouts.
Black IPAs.
Black IPAs.
Just dark beers. Like, it doesn't have to be fucking 13% stouts that no one really wants. The fact that lagers were like the number one selling thing last year.
Baltic Porters.
Yeah.
Baltic Porters. A lot of people don't know Baltic Porter is a lager. It's a dark lager. Right.
Stop making these big stouts that just sit on the shelves.
Unless it's vanilla rye that's gonna go on clearance for like, it's going on clearance at Mariano's for like $9.99. Well, I brought up the Chris Jacobson thing because for some reason the keg of double barrel VSOD showed up.
Okay.
It's 18% and it's on draft and it's fucking heavenly on draft.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. This is weird. But it was a good hang.
I feel like on the dark beer, I feel like I saw Rev is having like, was Eugene Porter, like a version of Eugene coming on tap. I thought I saw that.
Eugene. They did do Oak Apocalypse Later, which is a collab with Firestone Walker, and Firestone Walker's version is Oak Apocalypse Now. Mm. I'm pretty sure you can get both of these on draft if you go to Rev Kidsy. Okay. Well, the only Rev now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oak Apocalypse Later and Oak Apocalypse Now. Oak Apocalypse Later, I think, is just like more wood focused beer. Like they sat it in barrels and didn't try to blend off the wood flavors. They wanted like this big unabashed oak presence in their beer. So that was the last Deep Woods.
Okay.
For the year. So Deep Woods is over, which means spring will be here in no time.
Okay. Since this is our start of the episode, we should close out here. What brewery do you think closes, and which one do you think has a second location by the end of 2025?
Wow. I think my last time you asked me this, I said, Vinia might just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And I was partially right. They changed their name. So they
changed their name and now it's, you know.
Who else do I think might close? Man, I think, I'm just going to go with, the preacher man down the street here. I'm going to go with,
Burning Bush?
Burning Bush.
Whoa.
I'm going to go with Burning Bush.
I'm going to go there next week.
You better go. But, you know, they share a space. They share a patio with an event space.
Okay, yeah.
So that might just be something that people latch on to.
Okay.
I think location is kind of critical to this stuff, even though, like, we talked about, we talked about Suncatcher. And, like, even though I wouldn't say it's a place that you should go out of your way to go to, the people who live around there are probably going to keep it afloat during the week. And, you know, Burning Bush might be in the same category.
Okay.
But since I never go, I'm just going to say it's the first thing I thought of. So I'm going to say that.
So then think about your second location place. I'm standing by Haymarket, Chicago, closes in
2025.
Okay. That's what I think. They're just going to. I think they get a good deal to get out of that lease.
Yeah.
And then a new it's tough to be like who's gonna open a second spot, but who expands? Maybe not second, but who like grows bigger?
Yeah, who gets another location?
Another location, or like expands their footprint to like, you know, like a Salem Oath went and bought the building next door and stuff like that.
My bet would be Three Floyds.
Three Floyds, you think they'd come back around?
When you, because I think the rumor was Lone Wolf, the DeVille. It was originally the DeVille. DeVille at Chicago and Chicago and Damon. There was a bar called the DeVille, and the rumor from those guys was that Three Floyds was going to buy this place.
Okay.
And then they have a relationship with Lone Wolf where you can get Dark Lord once a year at Lone Wolf, and like for some reason half the beers are Floyd's beers at Lone Wolf. But they never just had their own full-blown tap room. And you were talking about this Pipeworks thing closing. I think we were talking about some other breweries that maybe you're thinking about getting out. I think as spaces become available, you know, Three Floyds is just kind of this sleeping giant. They're in the top 50 for sales, according to the Brewers Association. Okay. But they're technically an Indiana brewery. It wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, rode the lightning and bought one of these other spaces in the city.
That'd be interesting.
I mean, because shit, then I don't have to go to Munster, you know.
I think District Brew Yards opens another spot.
Okay.
Maybe a smaller spot. Somewhere in Illinois, because I think that concept works, and it's big enough that people just come there just to hang out. So who knows if it's the same breweries there or what? But
there's a modern German beer hall, and we were talking about the Diversity House thing, and I think they took inspiration from Brew Yards.
Yeah,
I think it's a concept, you know, like. It's a concept that just makes sense, you know, because one brewery retains ownership. In this case, I think it's Burnt City. And they have a bunch of guests. And then those guests can go open their own space and still, yeah. like Casa Humilde is a good example. Casa Humilde opened in Forest Park. But Casa Humilde is still on draft at both of the Brew Yards locations.
Right.
So if you've given breweries that kind of opportunity, Twisted Hippo's got the same opportunity. Well, they all do.
Right.
Same opportunity.
Say Twisted Hippo may open a space this year.
Yeah.
That could possibly. My wild card would be. I just forgot who's gonna leave. You were talking about Casa Humilde. Oh, I like had it.
Around the Bend?
No, I don't. I think Around the Bend missed its time.
Are you talking about another brewery that might open their own space?
Its own space, yeah.
Yeah, and then you just dial back to who you drink the most, right? Yeah. Like, I've been drinking a lot of zombie ice. That's why I was like, well, three. I'm like, you know, I got a meeting next week, all day meeting and dinner and shit with at the day job. And it's at a place that I don't want to go to. But I was thinking, they got zombie ice on draft. So I'm
just going to do that.
I'm just going to rip zombie ice all fucking night. You know, it'll be fine.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, when you think about the places you like to drink, and then you start wondering, like, who could open?
Right. Because we 1090 closed. That was a quiet close, too.
Yeah, up in Glenview.
Right.
Would people be excited if Dovetail had another location?
I think they would. I think. Oh, Beguile expanded. You know, they have that space next door.
I didn't know that.
I went there yesterday to pick up a gift card for some friends. Next door, picnic tables. That was packed. I had to wait in line to get my gift card. Like, there was a line to get beer. I've never seen that at outside of like Festiversary.
Yeah.
It was packed there. So, but Guile could have another space or like figure something else out. But I don't think he wants to. I don't think they want to push that.
If you got demand there and you got friends, you know, around you where you can throw joint events, you know, Ravenswood's a really good neighborhood for breweries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you don't.
Don't rock the boat.
Don't rock it.
Don't rock the boat this year.
Yeah. You know, just dig deeper into the thing you do.
Okay.
You know, if you got bandwidth and you got a little more dollars for advertising, go tell more people about the shit you do now.
Oh, all right. My wild card would be Short Fuse renames themselves Metropolitan. Mm. That would be like long shot, like 101.
We were talking about Crust Brewing. Now that I think about it, I can go to this outlet mall, go to Crust Brewing and Zombie Metropolitan. That could be a whole day thing.
Or Short Fuse spins off Metropolitan and opens up another tap room.
I mean, because Short Fuse, is their brand more recognizable than Metro?
Same. Yeah, same at this point.
Yeah. Right? And they're fine. I think they're doing fine for what they are, right? They're near the airport, and they have a huge space where you can just bring a bunch of fuckers and go crazy.
Right, because I've known people who
you don't have to make that change.
Who go to Short Fuse because they're like, I had a 3-hour layover in Chicago, and this was the closest spot that I could leave and come back.
Yeah.
And that's why people go to Short Fuse.
Yeah.
So they spun out Metropolitan either next door and had a second tap room or split it and be like, we're two breweries. That'd be interesting.
Because those beers are in Benny's as Metropolitan.
They and are.
It's right next to the Short Fuse beers. But I haven't had the guts to buy one yet. But I would go drink them there.
I want to try them.
Me too. Matter of fact, the Sipes lady, she said, have you been to Short Fuse? I'm like, no. She's like, you should go and tell us if it sucks. And I'm like, you know what? She's right.
She's right. We gotta go to these places. It's, you know.
Crust, Metropolitan, Zombie Metropolitan.
Crust is opening in March in Irving Park. I'm not making it.
You're not going to blow your crust load on
the original crust? Before March, there's just no possible way.
Right, so now you're just going to Rosemont then, if you go to Shorefuse.
Yeah.
Unless you go to the mall.
Right. Okay. All right, that's going to do it. We're out of here. Predictions, first episode of the year. We're off to a interesting start. Take care.
Cheers.